We start the second half of the program with a regular featured guest on Mondays, and that is Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. He joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourselves?
Doing quite well. Even better now with the season off to a start, underway now for Tennessee, a game under their belts. What was it like to actually watch Tennessee play football over the weekend?
Tally, it felt pretty good to watch SEC football in general. I mean, you know, it's been back for a couple of weeks now, and I think, you know, the NFL has seemed like the NFL, even with, you know, no crowds and that. I mean, I think the level play there has been good. But college football just has not been the same for me without the SEC. And, you know, to have it back this weekend, it felt like things were really happening. And a lot of fun to watch all the teams. I thought Tennessee, you know, certainly, and there was Jeremy Pruitt said on a couple of occasions, you know, didn't play great the other night, did some things well, did some things that weren't so great, but, you know, at the end of the night, did enough to win on the road in the SEC after what has just been an unbelievably difficult fall camp process with so many guys missing time, not having your full complement of players, whether it's the offensive lineman, your wide receivers, as Jeremy mentioned, you know, not having any specialists for the first 4 days of practice, and to overcome all that and play a pretty good football game on the road, I thought was pretty impressive and a nice start to the season.
Did you make the trip over?
No, the limited press box capacity.
Yeah, that's okay. I wasn't sure. I know you guys had great coverage, just as we did in terms of the post game and things like that. But what was it like in just terms of seeing the Williams-Bryce, like you've gotten used to with the NFL? But what is it like to see an SEC venue or any SEC venue with so few fans in it?
It looked like a Vanderbilt home game, John.
That's well done.
It didn't really come across. I mean, I know it's not the same, but it just wasn't as dry and you know, septic as I thought it would be. I mean, there still seemed to be a little bit of atmosphere there. No, it was not anything close to the same, but it didn't seem like it was taking place in a vacuum as I was afraid it was going to.
Rob, I want to ask you about a couple of things. One, what have you reported about Trey Smith? I'm hearing some rumors about an injury.
I haven't reported anything, Jimmy, but I have heard those same rumors.
Okay.
I don't want to, without having anything nailed down, I don't want to get too specific, but from what I am told, it is something that he would be able to play with. It's just what I've heard is accurate.
Okay. All right. That was one thing that I had heard about, so I wanted to run that by. As far as Schamberger, would you expect him back for game two?
I don't know if he's going to be back for game two or not. I think it's a timing thing. I think it's a possibility. I think definitely he'll be back. I would expect him definitely back for game three.
Okay. As far as some bright spots for Tennessee, DeAndre Johnson's a defensive lineman of the week, Kevon Bennett on the edge, Tennessee with four sacks. I thought they did a pretty good job of putting pressure on South Carolina's quarterback.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Jimmy, especially when, I don't know about you, but that was my biggest question mark about this whole front, you know, the whole defense. Maybe my biggest question mark on the team is, you know, how do you replace Daryl Taylor and the 8.5 sacks he gave you with, you know, a bunch of guys who have played some football but haven't really put up any stats. And DeAndre Johnson, that had to indisputably be the best game of his career, I would think. Yeah. Six tackles, 2.5 sacks. He forced a fumble that I still don't know how Elijah Simmons didn't control right there with about a minute left in the first half around midfield that would have given Tennessee a chance to, you know, add to their halftime lead. So and the numbers don't capture, but he's the guy that pressured Colin Hill on the throw that ended up being behind the receiver that Henry Toto picked off and took back for six. So I mean that may have been his biggest play of the night. It doesn't even show up in the box score. Tyler Bang made a couple of big plays.
Yes,
the freshman. I mean, almost as soon as he got in the game. And I just mentioned Elijah Simmons, a guy that redshirted last year. He played a lot. I was really really impressed with the front seven. The biggest thing Jeremy Banks did all night was get two completely, you know, just bonehead penalties that you can't get. But I thought he showed up and really flashed. He looked fast. He was around the ball a lot, and I think he had some problems in coverage. But for a guy making his first start at linebacker, I thought he showed up, and I would imagine that he has been coached up on the dead ball penalties.
With all the talk about Tennessee's freshman receivers, I thought it was neat to see the seniors, Palmer, Johnson, and then the transfer, Velus Jones, come through and have good ball games.
Now, I wasn't surprised by Josh Palmer. I mean, he's done enough, you know, made enough plays that I think it's his time. Now, Brandon Johnson, that one caught me off guard. I hadn't really, you know, wasn't a name that you heard much about coming out of fall camp. Now, Brandon, you know, played a lot of good football here, was the team's lead receiver a few years ago. So, not like, you know, he's not been productive. But I didn't, you know, the one-handed grab he made is as good as you're going to see all season long. And the other one, you know, another 30-plus completion. So, really happy for Brandon. When a kid does that, makes that sacrifice to redshirt, you know, give up a year to try and put himself in a better position, it's good. You know, it feels good when you see it pay off for him like it did for Brandon. And I wouldn't give up on those freshman receivers. I think from talking with people, and I'm sure you've heard this, Jimmy, that's a group that missed a lot of time in fall camp and kind of just got back intact before game week. So I would not give up on those guys quite yet.
What did you think in terms of Henry Toto coming up with that goal that he had for the season, not only an interception but a pick six?
Yeah, hey, big players make big plays. Very little that Henry T is going to do is going to surprise me when you're talking about positive things on the football field. Just really impressed with that kid, and you know, right place, right time. And you could, I mean, he looked like a running back when he took him through the sideline. Did he not?
Oh, especially when he threw off that would-be tackler. I mean, just threw him down.
And how can – and I tell you, underrated, and I know some people have, I'm sure, talked about this or thrown it on Twitter, Alante Taylor. He doesn't score without Alante. I mean, big block to kind of get things started, and then took out a big lineman inside the 5-yard line to kind of help him get it home. So that was to me, that was probably the defining play of the game, I would say. I mean, that's, you know, South Carolina has two turnovers. The one at the end, you know, just kind of sealed it. Who knows if they were going to be able to do anything with that with so little time left. But, you know, you score six on defense and don't turn it over yourself. That's a big break.
Well, and that's also it's probably at the top of the list with what Jeremy Pruitt wants to do a lot more of this season compared to his first two as the coach at Tennessee, and that's just make the other team make mistakes.
And they looked like a defense that could do that. I mean, they'll get better. Other teams will get better, but you know, four sacks. They had four other, you know, quarterback hurries. They came up with that interception. They had the forced fumble. And, yeah, they gave up some plays, but they also had a true freshman playing nickel in DeNico Slaughter because of Schamberger's absence. Jalen McCullough had been out, so you take a cornerback and start him at safety. I'm not – you know, they could have been sharper in the back end, but I wouldn't be too critical for the way they were having to move pieces around. I mean, you miss Schamberger, you miss McCullough. I mean, those are two pretty established guys. And moving – you know, Thompson clearly is a better quarterback than he is safety, and, you know, he had a lot on him.
That's Rob Lewis with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break. We've got another segment with Rob coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Turn us up and embarrass the Alabama fan that sits in the next cubicle. This is 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. Let's go to the phones where Morgan is up first. Hello, Morgan.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Doing all right. How are you?
Well, thank God it's SEC is back. Missed it.
Definitely.
I was wondering, the question I have is, how good do you think Tennessee would be if they had a better quarterback? Because, like you said, their defense was good. They got good receivers. And I watched the ball game, but Garantano he missed a bunch of good passes that could have picked up a bunch of big yards. And I'll sit back and listen to y'all, and first-time caller, and I love your show.
We sure do appreciate it, Morgan. Thank you. Rob?
I mean, I know Jared missed some throws the other night, but, I mean, obviously they'd be better if they had a better quarterback. I mean, that's elementary. But I don't think Jared had some kind of disastrous game like a lot of people seem to feel. I didn't feel that way at all. I mean, he missed some throws. He was really bad on several third downs, but he also threw for 260 yards, didn't have an interception. And other than one occasion, Jimmy, I thought he did a good job of not holding the ball and taking a sack when the opportunity was there to get rid of it. And again, I don't think he was great. I think he certainly played well enough that you can win football games with him.
Yeah, he needs to play better. You mentioned the high throws. That was the thing that stood out, because on third down throws, he was 0 for 6. And that obviously stops your drives. It keeps you from gaining some momentum on offense and probably keeps you from scoring some more points. I thought what Pruitt said afterward, that his decision-making was sound. He just misfired on some passes, and that was the key thing. But I thought one of the better decisions he made was on the flea flicker when it wasn't there, and he dumped it back to Eric Gray, who went 31 yards to the one, and then they scored the next play. So I thought his decision-making and those things were fine. He just has to be more accurate on a consistent basis.
I totally agree. And, again, I mean, he threw for 260, no picks. That's huge. He threw for no picks, and he had four plays of 30 yards or more in the passing game. That will erase some mistakes.
Well, and I also thought, and Jimmy, you've touched on this a couple of times, and that is just the decision-making. I mean, he saw the opportunity to run, and as Rob said, pulled off a great run, the 19-yard scamper. And then also, to me, his most impressive decision, and obviously he has to get better on third down, but the check down on the flea flicker, there's almost a mindset that when you do a play like that, you're just going to let it fly and throw it as far and as deep as you can. But he took the time to find the open receiver, which was a huge play, and so I think that I would give him a passing grade, no pun intended, for how he played against Carolina, because I thought he was a big part of the victory.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I just don't think it was a disaster like so many fans think, because he was high, you know, because of the third down struggles.
Let's go next to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Rob, you was talking about the quarterback. Who do you or some other players that were really encouraging, including the real young players, that were really encouraging to what they did in this ball game?
I thought Tyler Barron, for sure, jumps out at me. I mean, he had two TFLs. I think South Carolina took advantage of the Digo Slaughter a little bit over the middle at nickelback. But, I mean, come on, this is the kid's first game, you know, playing in the SEC as a true freshman. I thought just athletically he looked like he certainly belonged on the field. He was flying around. Pretty big fan of him. You know, we didn't see anything from the freshman receivers. Javonte Spraggins got at least two series, I noticed, at right guard. So pretty clearly that they think highly of him, if they want to get him in the game that early in those conditions in a tight game. But to me, definitely Tyler jumps out at the top. At a position where, you know, it's tough for a freshman to come in and be very productive early, to have two tackles for loss in your first SEC game, that jumped out to me.
Right. What do y'all think about our kick returner? What do y'all think about him?
Pretty good.
Velas? He was a much bigger part of the offense than I anticipated him being. I mean, I thought they were creative in the way they got in the ball, and pretty clearly, I mean, he's a different kind of guy than what they have. As far as not a big, you know, shifty, I think, you know, gets the top end speed quick. I really like his change of direction. I think just based off one game, he's going to have a role in this offense for sure.
Right. Okay. Well, Rob, is there anything that could happen real soon in recruiting?
A couple of weeks. I guess a little less than 3 weeks, and Marius Mims, the number two player in the country, is going to decide between Tennessee and Georgia. That's pretty big.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Well, you guys hang in there. And I'm happy. Rob, I was glad to hear what you said about the quarterback. and what he did, it was good. You know, I'm still supporting him. I've took up for him ever since he's been there. And I'll keep doing it until something happens where he just is awful. But he did do some real good things in the ball game. There's no doubt about that. So I'll talk to y'all later.
The biggest thing is he just didn't do anything. He just didn't do anything really bad. You know, yeah, I mean, he didn't have one of those throws where you're like, "What in the world was he looking at?"
Right.
You know, how did he not see that guy?
Right.
None of that. Which is a step forward.
Right. Well, okay then. Thanks, fellas.
Steve, we appreciate it. Let's go next to Cody. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Cody.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about Jared Garantano again. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I agree, Rob, with what you said there. I don't think his overthrows were really that bad. And, frankly, I think it's something that's pretty easy to fix. But kind of stuck to me for this game, and I'm curious to get your guys' take on it, is two parts, really. Is one, I'm still not 100% confident that he's got a good feel for reading the defense and feeling where the pressure is going to come from, especially on blitzes. I know, one, he just kind of got bum-rushed from the right side, I can remember specifically, and you can tell he wasn't ready for it at all. And then the second part is I feel like, and it's been the same way his whole career, is he takes a lot of undue shots because he holds onto the ball for a long time. It almost seems like he doesn't have that innate clock that's just running down when he's in the pocket. And it really didn't affect him too bad against South Carolina, but when we start playing some of the guys that's got a little bit more of an elite pass rush, and a little bit better cover corners. I know they've got J.C. Horn, but they were down the other one. A little better cover corners. I think that's really going to hurt him and might really kind of show up in the stat line at the end of the season. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Cody, thank you.
I want to say on the one play, if we're talking about the same play where the pressure came off of the right side of Tennessee's offensive line, I don't think Quarantano was expecting – to be worried about pressure, because I went back and watched that one on replay, and Tennessee had six guys at the block, and I don't think Jarrett was worried about having to be worried about a rusher that quick. The right tackle just completely whiffed, and I might give him a little bit of pass on that one. But in general, yeah, I would say over the course of his career, Jimmy, I don't think he's had that kind of internal clock finally tuned where it feels like he is sensing things. I thought there was one the other night where he had an ample opportunity to get rid of the ball and ate a sack that was unnecessary. But I thought he looked better in that regard, frankly.
Yeah, and the thing is, and one of the things that I remember, I think it was Jim Chaney was talking about this. He's got to do a better job of anticipating receivers coming open. That's something that I think he struggled with. I think sometimes in his career you've seen him throw it waiting till the receiver came open instead of anticipating him coming open. And so he's been late with some of his throws. That's one thing that I think he needs to do a better job of. But as far as getting throwing the right place and knowing where to go and having a feel for this offense, I thought those were the things he did fine. I just think he had too many overthrows, which he needs to correct.
And without those, I mean, Tennessee, I think, had a chance to put this game away early. This wasn't all on Jared, but Tennessee started with field position, like on South Carolina's, I want to say 47 or better, three times and got 0 points out of those drives. In fact, I don't think they got a first down on those three drives. And again, that's not all on Jared, but he missed some throws there where Tennessee had a chance to really, I don't know about break it open, but at least, make it a two-score game on a couple of occasions.
That's right.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you also pointed out they also had one drive that started at their own 47, so within 5 yards of midfield that didn't result in anything. But, hey, Rob, we always appreciate it. What's going on this week at VolQuest.com? What will folks find?
We're cleaning up the South Carolina game, Brent Hubbs, with a couple of really nice pieces on Sunday that are still timely. If you want to relive the season opening victory, I would advise you to check those out. Always recruiting content, and quickly turning our attention to the home opener against Missouri this Saturday.
Rob, thank you so much. Have a great week. Good luck with everything, and we look forward to talking to you next Monday.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.